All right, let's study the Bible together. The title of this message is How to Stand Out for Christ. How to Stand Out for Christ. If you want to take some notes on that little paper I gave you or take out your Bible, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at a couple of verses that I think are really important. And I think this message is going to really help you tonight. How to Stand Out for Christ. As a Christian, there's some Bibles there if you need a Bible. As a Christian, Christ wants you to stand out. He wants you to stick out like a sore thumb, if you will. And why does Jesus want you to stand out? One of the things that Jesus wants you to do, and this is what it means to glorify God. God wants you, in the way that you live, to display the superiority of life in Christ. And you know, Dad, you're fond of saying that Christianity is not an alternative lifestyle, it's the superior lifestyle. That's the truth. And that's what it means to glorify God. God wants us to display the superiority of life in Christ. Why does God want us to show that? Because God wants us to lead others to Christ. God wants others, whenever they see us, to be interested because we're different, and then to be attracted and say, I want what you have. Because as a Christian, if Christ is not making a difference in your life, then the world is not going to want what you have. It's like I hate to use the word fat man because that's kind of offensive, but it's like a fat man trying to sell weight loss pills. Here, take these pills. They'll really help you lose weight. He's not going to be very effective because people are going to look at him and say, well, you know, obviously these pills are not making a difference in your life, so why would I want them? So when you go around saying Jesus is awesome, Jesus is great, but there's no difference between you and non-Christians, people aren't going to want what you have. And so Jesus wants you to be different. He wants you to stand out. How can you be different? What can you do to really stand out for Christ? I want to teach you one thing you can do that may cause the biggest difference, may make you stand out more than anything else. This one thing, and it's Philippians chapter 2. Verses 14 through 15. If you will do this one thing, you will be really, really different than the world. Okay? Here it is. It says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure. Children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Okay? So this passage starts out with a command. It says what not to do. What's it say? Do everything without what? Grumbling and arguing. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. So what is grumbling? Grumbling is another word for complaining. It's another word for complaining. So this verse is saying, do everything without complaining and arguing. 2:14 through 15. Complaining or grumbling is the same thing as complaining. Here's a definition for you of what it means to grumble or to complain. To grumble, not that you needed a definition. You know complaining when you hear it. But to grumble is to verbally express your negative feelings and thoughts about other people or your circumstances. It's to verbally express your negative feelings and thoughts about other people or about your circumstances. I hate Louisiana weather. It's always changing. It's so hot. It's so humid. Or my spouse makes me so angry. He never helps with the chores. He's never home. He's always working or hunting. When he is home, all my husband ever does is watches sports. My coworker is a jerk. She never admits it when she's wrong. She's lazy. She never does what she's supposed to do. I hate my job. It's so boring. The days go by so slow. My parents are the worst. They always make me do this and that, or they never allow me to do this and that. That's complaining, right? You know what complaining is. That's our grumbling. What is arguing? Arguing, to argue is to turn a discussion into a fight. or a verbal heated exchange. So there's a difference between a discussion and an argument. And the difference is not that a discussion doesn't have a disagreement. No, it's okay to have a disagreement. For example, Sean and I, we have discussions all the time in which, you know, he thinks the Rockets are the best and I think the Warriors are the best. But that's not, we're not arguing, we're just having a discussion. So what's the difference between a discussion and an argument? It's not disagreement. Disagreement is going to happen when you have relationships all the time. But an argument takes the disagreement and it turns it into a fight. Voices are raised. You know what I'm talking about. Talking gets faster. Insults and sarcasm come out. People stop listening and start cutting each other off. People start slamming doors and hitting walls and throwing things. And so this passage starts with a command of what not to do. It says, do everything without grumbling or complaining and arguing. Do everything when you're doing chores, when you're washing the dishes, when you're playing in the bedroom, when you're at work, whenever you're on vacation, when you're, you know, eating around the dinner table. Do everything without grumbling and complaining. Here's three reasons why, and it's right there in the text. The first reason is to be blameless. The first reason to avoid grumbling and complaining is to be blameless. Blameless means pure. It means without sin. And so what that means is that grumbling and complaining and arguing are sins. And it's very important that we understand these. When the Bible says avoid these things, don't do these things are against God's will. These things are immoral. These are vices. These are not virtues. These are not innocent. These are destructive. When God tells us not to do something, there's a reason. God doesn't just waste words. God doesn't just waste commands. And God doesn't enjoy placing restrictions on us. Anytime he tells us avoid something, it's because it's bad. It's sin. So the first reason is to be blameless. The second reason to avoid grumbling and arguing is to be different than the world. To be different than the world. Verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. And then verse 15 says, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. God wants you to shine like a star. Here's the thing. Grumbling and complaining and arguing are so prevalent, and they always have been. This was 2,000 years ago. And these were a big part of just human nature. But grumbling and arguing are so prevalent, they're so popular, they're so normal, they're so natural, that if you will not grumble and argue, you will stand out like, you will shine like stars. Everywhere you go, people are grumbling and complaining. So if you will be the one weirdo who's not grumbling and complaining, you will stick out like crazy. People are going to take note of you. People are going to be like, something's really different about you. The norm is everybody's complaining, everybody's arguing. That's what people do. Normal people, but not Christians, not Christ-like people. If you will not argue and complain, you will really stand out and be noticed. And the third reason to avoid grumbling and complaining is to point people to Christ. What's the point? To point people to Christ. What's the point of standing out? What's the point of being different? We don't want people to admire us. We don't want people to say, wow, you're such a cool, good guy. No, we want people to notice us, notice the difference, so that we can then show them why we're different. We can say, I'm different because of the difference Jesus has made in my life. The whole point is pointing people to Christ. And so you can really get the attention. You can really stand out for Christ if you will avoid grumbling and arguing. Here's the best way that I can put this. Okay, here's the big idea of this passage. The best way to stand out is to shut up. The best way to stand out is to shut up. Here's a nicer way to put it. The best way to shine your light is to close your mouth. If you really want to stand out for Jesus, close your mouth. Avoid grumbling and complaining. Your mouth Our mouths are our biggest problem most of the time. That's where really all the sin comes out. And so if we can be different by the words that we say, we will really show that Christ can make a difference in your life. So let's get practical. What's wrong with grumbling? What's the problem with complaining? What's the problem with complaining? Why does the Bible say avoid complaining? Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, it's a joy thief. Complaining is a joy thief. God wants you to be happy. He commands it three times in the book of Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, to be joyful. In Philippians 3:1 and then Philippians 4:4, two times. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. God wants you to be happy. Not just happy. He wants you to be going through life with a celebratory attitude. But complaining and joy are like oil and water. They don't go together. They don't mix. You cannot be happy if you're complaining. So it's a joy thief. You need to understand that your circumstances are not what are making you unhappy. If ever you find that you're unhappy, don't blame it on your circumstances. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to be joyful in all circumstances. But whenever something bad happens to you, how you respond will determine whether or not you live in joy or you live in misery. And if you respond to your negative circumstances by complaining, that's what's going to cause you to lose your joy. And that's when you'll be miserable. It's that complaining, that grumbling, that's what causes you to lose your joy. So it's a joy thief. Number two, a second thing that's wrong with complaining is that grumbling is a bad witness. It's a bad witness. You have to remember, as a Christian, you are a walking advertisement for Jesus Christ. That's what you are. You're a walking billboard for Jesus. And so when you walk around, if you're full of joy, that says, Jesus makes me happier. But if you walk around and your attitude and your countenance are sad and unhappy, what you're saying is, Jesus either doesn't make a difference in your life or he makes it even worse. And so you're a really bad advertisement for Jesus Christ whenever you're walking around with a bad attitude. But with a great attitude, when you've got joy and you're not complaining all the time, people are attracted to that. People want happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. You're walking around happy. You're not complaining about everything. People are going to want what you have. I heard a story one time about a barber who had a really bad attitude. You know what a barber is? It's a guy, right? And you know what a barber is? You need to listen to this story. A barber is a guy who cuts hair. Well, he was a really negative person, had a really bad attitude. And so one time a customer entered the barber shop and sat down in the chair, and he told the barber that he was going to soon be traveling to Rome. Well, the barber said, well, I used to live in Rome, actually. What airline are you taking? And so the man told him the airline, and the barber said, that's the worst airline you could possibly take. They have bad safety ratings. They're always late. The flights are bumpy, very uncomfortable. The barber asked him, what hotel are you going to be staying in when you get to Rome? And the man told him the name of the hotel. He said, oh, no, that's the absolute worst hotel that you could possibly stay in. Horrible service, dirty rooms. I just pray that they have towels for you when you get there. And then the barber asked, what are you going to be doing whenever you get to Rome? And the man said, well, it's going to be a sales trip. It's a sales meeting. And the barber said, oh no, the Italians are the worst. He said, they're going to monopolize all your time. They're going to take up all your time, and then they're not going to buy anything. That's going to be horrible. Well, by this time, the customer was just feeling horrible. He was like, he's thinking this is going to be a really bad trip, and he mentioned something about the Pope. And so the barber said, wait, what? What'd you say about the Pope? And the man said that he was hoping to meet the Pope when he goes to Rome. And the barber said, that's just ridiculous. Nobody gets to meet the Pope unless you're really famous or you're a powerful person or you're a celebrity. Nobody gets to meet the Pope. And so the man left, and about a month went by, and then the man went back to the barber to get another haircut. After a month, As you know, if you're a man, you need another haircut. And so the man went back, and the barber said, well, listen, I can't wait to hear about your trip. How was your trip? And the man said, oh, my goodness, it was just, it was amazing. I mean, the airline was just outstanding. We got there 30 minutes early. The hotel was amazing. Every day they delivered warm towels to us, fresh warm towels to us every morning. And the sales meeting was just out of this world. It was just amazing. They bought way, in fact, it was the best sales meeting I've ever been in. They bought way more than we dreamed. It was just amazing. And best of all, I got to meet the Pope. He said he got to meet the Pope. He said, here's what happened. He said, they brought me into this huge room. And there was this long red carpet. And the room was just gorgeous. There was gold and shiny stuff everywhere. Everything was beautiful and ornate. And it was just amazing. And he said, when I approached the Pope, I knelt down, as is the custom. You kneel down before the Pope out of respect. And I kissed his ring. That's what you're supposed to do. And then the Pope lifted his hands and he put them on my head to bless me. And then the Pope paused for a few moments and he said, my son, where did you get this awful haircut? I don't know how that story ties in, but grumbling is a bad witness. Ed Barber, if that barber was a Christian, do you think that barber is a good witness for Jesus? No. Here's another reason that grumbling is bad. It's a form of betrayal. It's a form of betrayal. God has called us to love one another, but it's not loving when you grumble about people behind their back, when you complain about people behind their back. And when you talk bad about people behind their back and you're talking negative about it, even if it's the truth, nobody likes that. Nobody likes it. Whenever people talk bad about them behind their back, you just don't like that. It feels like betrayal. One of the things is it's also hypocrisy, because you'll have people who will talk bad about you behind your back, and you hear about it through the grapevine. This person was talking bad about you behind their back, but then whenever they see you in person, they act like, "Oh, you're such an awesome person. I love you. You're great." But you know that behind your back they've been talking bad about you. It's just a really hurtful thing that can destroy relationships. And so avoid grumbling. Here's how you can avoid grumbling. Number one, only say what's positive and kind. Only say what is positive and kind. That's how you can avoid complaining. Only let words come out of your mouth that are positive and encouraging, Caleb. Just only say what's positive and kind. Only say what's positive and kind. So when it comes to your circumstances, only say what's positive. And when it comes to people, only say what's kind. If you have a problem with somebody, what do you need to do? You go to that person in private, one-on-one, on the phone if you need to, and you work it out. You try your best to work it out with that person. You know, there have been several times in the life of our church whenever people have come to me personally. They've either called me up on the phone or they said, can I meet with you? Because I offended them by something I did or something that I said, and we had a sit-down meeting. Those types of meetings have always strengthened the relationships. I always end up respecting that person more. But then there have been times whenever I've heard of people talking bad about me behind my back, people who had a problem with me and just talking bad about me instead of coming to me personally, those relationships always end up deteriorating. It's just a bad way to manage a relationship. In fact, I remember one time, Sean, I don't want to embarrass you, but there was one time that I did something that kind of offended Sean and Kendra. And don't mind, I offend my family all the time, Sean, so you're just welcome to the club. But I remember there was one time that I offended Sean. This is a good example for you kids. But and what they did was they called me up and told me that I had done something that kind of upset them. They said, can we meet? So we had a sit-down meeting, and it was wonderful. I was able to learn some things about myself and about them, and I had done some boneheaded things, and I was able to apologize, and we were able to, you know, hug and make up and move on. Our relationship's even stronger. That's how you handle it whenever you have a problem with somebody. You don't go talking about bad about them behind their back. So only say what's positive and kind. Here's another way to avoid grumbling. Focus on the solution. Focus on a solution. Instead of complaining, why don't you get out a pen and a paper and try to come up with a solution? Try to solve the problem. Get to work on the problem rather than complaining about the problem. Do you hate the weather in Louisiana? Well, then move up north. Move up north. Don't complain. Are you frustrated with your spouse? Move up north. Don't complain. Find a solution. No, I'm just kidding. Read some marriage books. Go to some marriage counseling. Do you hate your job? Move up north. All right. Everything good is up north, apparently. Find a solution. Here's another way to avoid grumbling. Be silent. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Be silent. And this one really has to do with, what if somebody in your presence, in the same room as you, is complaining? Complaining is very, very contagious. Have you noticed this? When somebody starts griping, it just pulls you right in. And, you know, grumbling is like junk food. It tastes really good on the way down, but then it makes you feel really bad afterwards. That's the way it is with grumbling, with complaining. It feels good in the moment. It really does. But it leaves you with a really bad aftertaste and leaves you with some bad indigestion. And so it's very tempting to join in with complaining when you hear it. Don't. If somebody is complaining, you have several options. First, be silent. Just don't say anything at all. Or you can change the subject. Or you can try to leave, walk out of the room. Or you can actually, sometimes you might have to speak up and say, hey, I don't think we should be complaining about this or that, or I don't want to complain, or I don't think we should be talking bad about so-and-so. But be silent if somebody else is complaining. Okay, what about arguing? Let's talk about arguing just for a second. What's wrong with arguing? Arguing is divisive. Remember, this is all about how to attract people to Jesus. God wants you to pull people to Jesus, attract people to Jesus by the way you live. Arguing does not attract people. It pushes people away. One of the worst things that you can do is win an argument but lose a friendship. Arguing is divisive. It puts a wall up between friends. You can't win friends and influence people by arguing with them. So how do you avoid arguing? The answer is to think about the behaviors that people display when they argue and simply avoid those types of behaviors. Here's the key. The point that I want you to get to, and the point that I want to get to, the place where I want to get to, is not to avoid disagreeing with people. You need to disagree. You need to speak up. Even in our church, in our home group, for example, even in our family, if we're going to have healthy relationships, we need to be able to disagree without getting into a fight, right? We need to be able to disagree agreeably. How do you do that? Four ways to avoid arguments. Number one, stay calm. Four ways to avoid arguments. Stay calm. What do people do when they get in a fight? What happens when an argument turns into, a discussion turns into an argument? What happens? People raise their voices. They start talking louder and louder. They might even start screaming at each other. So if you want to avoid an argument, stay calm. Number two, stay kind and respectful. Stay kind and respectful. The point here is, how do you avoid turning a discussion in which you're disagreeing, but how do you avoid turning that into a fight, into an argument? Stay kind and respectful. When people get angry, when they start to get angry, and they start to get into an argument, what happens is they start to throw out insults, they start to get sarcastic, and they start to say mean things to each other. You ever notice that? When you get into a fight, I notice that even whenever I'm getting into a fight with my kids or with Lydia. As we get into a fight and start losing our temper, then the mean things start coming out. And so to avoid an argument, stay kind. Keep your words kind and respectful. One of the things that you can say in order to have a discussion without having an argument is, you can say, with all due respect, and then say what you need to say. Or you can say, in other words, give a disclaimer, give a little warning before you disagree. You can say, listen, I don't want this to come across the wrong way. I don't mean to offend you, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but here's what I think, or here's the way I look at it. And so you can let them know by your words that, hey, you disagree, but you still value them as a person. Number three, third way to avoid an argument, don't cut them off. Don't cut them off. What happens when people get into an argument? They stop listening and they start talking more and more and more. They stop listening and they're just thinking about what they want to say next so that they can win the argument. And so what happens as people move from a discussion to an argument is they stop listening, they start cutting each other off. So you're in the middle of what you're saying, and they cut you off to say what they're going to say, and then you cut them off so you can say what you're going to say, and you start talking faster and faster and faster and louder and louder and louder. Before long, you're just yelling at each other, and you're not listening. So to avoid an argument, listen. You just need to listen. Listen more. Sometimes you just need to stop talking, but don't cut them off. If necessary, let them talk more than you. Here's one more. How to avoid arguing. If you notice tempers are starting to rise, then you need to change the subject. Whenever you're in a discussion in which you're disagreeing, that's where there's always potential for it to turn into an argument. You need to learn, as you're having a discussion, to pay attention to your body. Pay attention to your feelings as you're having a discussion. If you'll notice, before you lose your temper, you'll actually notice your body doing something chemically. You'll start to notice your blood boiling. You can actually learn to notice this. You might even notice yourself start to tremble, start to shake a little bit before you lose your temper. And if you notice yourself starting to get really excited, that's when you need to say, okay, let's talk about football instead of politics, you know. Let's talk about the weather instead of whatever we're talking about. Let's change the subject. Pay attention to your body. If you notice that they're getting frustrated or angry, if you notice that you're getting frustrated or angry, change the subject. So here's the big idea. The best way to stand out is to shut up. The best way to shine your light is to close your mouth. Complaining and arguing are so popular, so prevalent in our society among unbelievers, that if you will avoid complaining and arguing, you will really stand out. You will really be different. And you can really pull people to Jesus. You can really display the superiority of life in Christ. And then you can win people to the Lord.